2 Samuel 7:12, when your days are fulfilled and you sleep with your fathers, I will raise up your seed after you, which will come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom.
Amen.
Yeah. 2 Samuel 7:13, it is he who will build a house for my name, Amen. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever.
Amen.
I will be his father, and Amen. He will be my son.
Amen.
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 Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make an abode with him.
Amen.
Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his spirit into the inner man.
Amen. Ephesians 3:17a, that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith.
Amen. Ephesians 4:4, one body and one spirit, even as also you were called in one hope of your calling.
Amen.
Ephesians 4:5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism.
Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians 4:6, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all.
Amen.
Philippians 2:13, for it is God who operates in you, both the willing and the working for his good pleasure.
Amen.
The last verse we read, Philippians 2:13, is very encouraging.
Amen.
For it is God, that is the process and consummated triune God, who is operating in you. Okay. Like right now.
Amen.
Right now.
Amen.
Both the willing and the working for his good pleasure.
Amen.
Our Lord knows our inner situation, that we may be reluctant about certain things or afraid or not clear. So he doesn't just command us. He doesn't issue, like we've been under for a long time, mandate after mandate. You must do this, you must do that. No, he's operating in us. What? According to his good pleasure, in a way that makes him heart, makes him joyful, and it makes us joyful. And so here's another operating God day, operating in all of us, both the willing and the working for his good pleasure. Concerning this central work of God in Christ building himself into us, I would like to say something in a real simple way. It's never too late for the Lord to carry out this work in us. No matter what your age is, what you think your condition is, what your history has been, it's not too late. And if the Lord has this kind of sense about what we really need, he may function as the sevenfold spirit. And please don't think, oh, sevenfold spirit, that's seven lamps of fire burning me. No, it's not only that. It's sevenfold life-giving spirit, sevenfold grace, sevenfold love. So he's operating in us, both the willing and the working. And also, I would say, for those that are really young Maybe there's someone, 12 or 13, they're with the family, and so they're kind of in the conference. It's not too soon for the Lord to work in you as you're going through your daily life, a human life, a practical life, wherever you are. Okay, for those joining us now for the first meeting, our general subject is reaching the highest peak of the divine revelation. And we defined this highest peak of the divine revelation in this way. It is God in Christ becoming man in life and nature in order to make us his redeemed, regenerated believers the same as he is in life, in nature, in constitution, in expression, but not in the Godhead and not as an object of worship. And God is doing this so that we all may arrive at God's goal to have the bride ready to be his counterpart forever, so that he may come back for her and the age and manifest the kingdom on the earth. This is the highest peak. And then I will do in this message, in this structure, the same thing I did in message one in this structure, and devote the first part of the message, not to the outline material, although it's related to it, but to some aspect of reaching. And from time to time in the last year or so, I've been pointed out, hopefully for the saints' encouragement, we are the ing people. We are learning. We are growing. We are advancing. We are maturing. We are arriving. I can't say in the Lord's presence, I have arrived. I'm ready. Rapture me now. I'm ready to go. I would have to say, I'm an ing person like all the others. And this is another ing day for reaching. And I mentioned, you may recall, that in the reaching of this highest peak, there is the personal side, and there is the corporate side. And these are not conflicting, they go together. The personal side is God carrying out his central work in each one of us, building himself into us, making his home in our heart. And there will always be, even in eternity, a personal side. We will not just be all slabs of jasper with no identity. We will recognize one another once we adjust to the recognizing one another in glory. But we will be a corporate person, the wife of the redeeming God. And so nothing and no one can replace this personal aspect. If you had breakfast today, you yourself ate it. Someone couldn't do it for you. On it goes. And so this will continue, the personal side. Lord, work yourself into me. But the goal is something corporate. The goal, as I mentioned at the beginning last night, when the Lord comes back, first by rapture in a hidden way, he is coming for a person. a corporate person, his bride. He's coming for his bride. He's not coming for anyone or anything else. That's why Revelation 19:7 is so important. The bride has made herself ready. But let's look at that simple picture again from Genesis 2. God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Look, he is able to give names to all the animals. Okay, there's a giraffe, there are hippos, there are friendly lions, there's all kinds of things, and none of them match him. So we know the story. And the Lord had to build another human body. First came the development of a female human body. But then this person was brought to the man. And what he realized first, this is my counterpart. I'm now complete. I'm not just thankful there's another human being in the garden with a human body. This is my completion. And the basic thought here is the Lord must first have the church as the body of Christ built up. And then this built up body will become the prepared bride. I have a granddaughter who is developing normally. That's all we ask for. Who is 15 years old. And if you see a picture of her when she was 7, it's quite obvious that she is growing and developing in a certain way. But now she's a girl, not yet an adult woman. Not really of marriage age, but as she grows physically, psychologically, in every way, she'll become a mature young adult woman, and in the Lord's way and time, I believe, will get married. And so you wouldn't say, I don't say when I see her, a future wife is growing. Oh, somebody's bride is growing. No, you as a human with your body is growing. But when the body reaches maturity, that means the bride is ready. So this leads us to the first of three points I will cover, one in each of the remaining messages, 2, 3, and 4, on reaching the highest peak of the divine revelation. And that is to have this corporate person. And so the next thing is knowing the body in the way of life and having the consciousness of the body of Christ. I want to be quite exact here in the words. Knowing the body in the way of life, the experience of life, and being conscious, have the consciousness of the body. Well, let's consider the second part first. What do you mean, the consciousness of the body? Well, all of us are born again. We're believers. And so it's just so clear in us. I'm a believer. By the grace of God, who infused faith into me, I not only believe in the only begotten Son, I'm a believer. I believe God. I believe his word. But a believer is really just a single person. And also, we know from the New Testament, we are children of God. And again, we will realize eventually, God is my Father. Oh, when we worship the Father, he's my Father. And I'm his child. I was born of God. That means I have the same life as God does. Wow, I'm a child of God, everybody. And Romans 8:16 proves this. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. But this also is something personal and individual. I am a child, she's a child, they are children. But now there's this big step to be conscious that you are a member of the body. I don't mean the concept. So easy, especially for brothers, to take in the concept and then take it for granted. Oh, now I really know it. That's just like a priest claiming to know what marriage is like. What? You don't know anything about it. You can call it a sacrament day and night. Why would someone come to a priest to get help about married life? You want someone who knows it from the inside out. And so, being conscious of the body, this requires that you realize you are part of a corporate organism. You are a member of something. It's, again, it's very easy to understand the thought when we have to begin here. Otherwise, we can't communicate. But to know that we are a member of the body, if we really know this, I'm not exaggerating now, it changes every aspect of our life. What do you mean, Ron? It means, look, a church meeting, once we're able to meet again, and the Lord will lead the leading brothers in each locality when and how to do it. I'm not an elder in Anaheim, I'm a brother here. When the elders make the arrangement, I will say amen. Until then, I don't express opinions. But when the churches, we come together, we assemble, we can't stay there 24 hours a day the rest of our life. Even the one meeting in Acts, in Troas, I think, they started to have the Lord's table early in the evening. Paul was speaking. He went on till midnight, about 6 hours. Someone fell asleep, fell down on the floor. Everyone thought he was dead. Paul went to him and said, no, he's okay. Then Paul kept speaking and they broke bread at dawn. So they had a 12-hour speaking. They could have a whole semi-annual training in one night, but they couldn't stay there for the rest of their lives. But your body is all the time. You may be in different places, awake, asleep, healthy, sick, energetic, tired, working, relaxing, whatever it is, wherever you are. Your body is there, obviously, continuously. And when you are conscious of the body, you realize I'm always in the body. Always. That can't change. I'm a member of the body forever. And if I realize this, this will affect every aspect of my life, every aspect. It will uplift every marriage. Yes, I'm married to this dear sister, the most important person in my life. But she's a member of the body. She's a child of God. I have to realize this. And our married life and our church life and our body life and our Christian life are one life all together. And so this is the consciousness of the body realizing I'm a member of the body. And then you also realize two main things now. One is I cannot live without the body. I cannot. I cannot live without the genuine fellowship of the body. That's impossible. And also, I'm so thankful there's such a thing as a supply of the body. Just early this morning at breakfast, my wife told me about a couple in the airport in Moscow. Wanting to fly to Armenia for safety. And there was a problem with the brother's passport. And so immediately the sister sent a text to Tanya. She read it to me. The sister asked us to pray, and we immediately prayed. And we prayed, Lord, this is a body matter. These are members of the body. And now let the body supply them. Now we come to an important matter, and we all need grace from the Lord to really receive this. And that is knowing the body in the way of life. You can take an online course through Living Stream Ministry, and you can know much truth concerning the body. Not only doctrine, you know it from the scripture, and you may have some light. That is somewhat like an engaged couple learning some things about marriage because they're about to enter into it, but they're not really in it yet. But to really know the body in the way of life involves some very thorough and deep experiences of life. Now, let me try to explain. When all of us believed in the Lord and called on him and prayed and received him into us, the Spirit came into us, and we now have eternal life. We believe 1 John 5:11 and 12. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son does not have the life. And so we all have received Christ. We all have been born of God. We all have eternal life. We do. And this life first reaches our spirit. Even our spirit is life, Romans 8:10 tells us. Now, the life that we received in the Son of God is the life of the body. Because we have been born of God, baptized into God, baptized into the body, we're members of the body. And deep in our spirit is Christ as life. And this life is the life of the body. And so for quite a period of time, for some saints, it will be a very long period of time, their whole life plus the next age, I'm sorry to say, until there can be the breakthrough through God's central work. So here is the situation. The deepest part of our being is our spirit, our regenerated spirit, now the mingled spirit. And deep within, in our spirit, we have Christ as our life. And this is the life of the body. We all have this life. But surrounding our spirit is our soul, which has become the self with the satanic element in it. And also our spirit is surrounded by our natural constitution and even more challenging, the flesh. Our body has become a body of sin and a body of death. And so these layers of our being make it impossible for us to have the consciousness of the body life in us. Because in our inner being, it's filled with consciousness of all kinds of things related to us. I'm not saying they're necessarily wrong. Our body can tell us when we may need a certain kind of food, or when it needs to rest, or when it needs to be exercised, or when we need some kind of medical care. But today there are millions and millions of believers walking around. Hardly any know they have a spirit. Hardly any realize Christ as life is in their spirit. And so we have to pass through what I call spiritual adolescence until we reach spiritual maturity at the first stage. And referring to a very old book, but still quite helpful, The Experience of Life, that is the third stage of the experience of life. And so we have the flesh and the self and the natural constitution. And so now there's an aspect of the central work of God in us. And I'm so glad this is not mentioned first, but now we're ready for it. There is in our soul, in our natural constitution, in our fallen body, all kinds of negative elements. And two things need to be taking place in us day by day. One is being saved in life, Romans 5:10. Much more you will be saved in life. So as the Lord is working in us, he is saving us in life. and we will reign in life. But other aspects of our being cannot be saved. They must be terminated. They must be removed. Now, as an illustration from my own experience, I want to use the word surgery. We need our Lord Jesus. He's our physician. Isn't that word used? He came to heal those who were sick. He's a physician. And I freely can tell him, I need a physician. And you are the physician. The only way I can help someone else go on is to be healed myself of my own situations by my physician. But I remember, like you never forget, one Thursday evening in March 1987, I had the severest pain in the center of my body. It had been going on all day and it was just unbearable. And I called a brother, our dear brother Rick Scatterday. We were both together in Irving, Texas, and he came immediately, examined me. He realized this is serious. He called the hospital. He said, I'm bringing this man here to the emergency room. They did. They took me in. They thought it was a heart attack. It wasn't. They examined me for a couple of days, couldn't find out what it was. But then one evening, things got worse. The pain, the temperature. And at midnight, Rick called a surgeon. They came to the side of my bed and said, we need to operate now, but we need your permission. We will go in at the where the appendix is. Maybe that's the cause, but you need to agree that we can do exploratory surgery once we open you to find the cause. Well, intuitively, deep within, I knew what it was. But I couldn't tell the doctors what it was. And so, yes, then I signed the document. If I had not agreed with that surgery, I would have gone to be with the Lord in 1987. And so they took me in, did the surgery, took me to the recovery room about 3 a.m., Then when I was awake, the person next to me said, it was your gallbladder. And I said, I know. It was gangrenous. It was infected. It was green. It could have erupted. I was saved by surgery. And I didn't suffer during the surgery. I suffered before. And there was what I would call healing suffering after. But I refer to this. We all, the time will come when you will realize you need the surgery of the cross, of the cross. God solves all problems by the cross. God deals with all negative things by the cross. And in our fallen being, especially in the soul, there are elements, and Peter exhibited these in Matthew 16, elements that are directly rebelling and against God and opposed to his way. When the Lord said that we'll go to Jerusalem, I will be persecuted. They will kill me. On the third day, I will rise up. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, no, this will not happen to you. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Your mind is on the things of men, not on the things of God. And then he went on to say, anyone who follows me must deny the self and take up the cross. Right now, as I speak, there are saints, beloved brothers and sisters, all over the earth, still refusing God's surgery. There's one brother who helped me the year I came in 1966, a very dear brother, but he made it very clear to everyone, don't touch me, don't touch me. And he even openly said, I won't let the Lord touch me. And he continued that way until he passed away. And so I have to be faithful to the Lord and to you, because the biggest hindrance in all of us is the self. The self is the enemy of the body. And it is a blessing. It is a joyful recovery to have this negative element dealt with decisively by our physician, the Lord Jesus. Then when this happens, when we allow the Lord to apply the surgery, and we learn, when we detect the self, and I go through this every day, Lord, here is the self trying to rise up, even now has said a sentence, I have to stop. That's the self. I deny it and apply the cross to it. I will not allow the enemy to take advantage of this, but we have to know it. And then we realize we have the physician, the surgeon, the healer, the comforter operating in us. But if I would just have told you again and again, Christ is operating in you. God is operating in you. Christ is making his home in you. The central work is taking place in you. Just turn your heart to the Lord. Exercise your spirit. Open to the Lord. Everything will be fine. And eventually there'll be a barrier and you won't know why. And the barrier are these things. And in faithfulness to the Lord, and in faithfulness and loving care for all the saints, I need to point out God's way to fully work himself into us is by dispensing and by terminating. And the two, as a combination, bring such inner relief, such liberation. Lord, I didn't know how much a grip the enemy had. Now he's losing ground. You're gaining ground. And then when this happens, I'm not dealing with the flesh now or dealing with the constitution now, but then the life of the body, which is Christ, now can come through your soul and make you aware, I'm a member of the body. This is a body life in me. I'm not an isolated individual. I'm an actual living part of a body. The body needs me and I need the body. Now you can really say, I know the body in the way of life. And the more God in Christ works himself into you, and the more the cross deals with all the hindrances in us, And the more Christ makes his home in our heart, then the more our consciousness of the body increases. And there is no doubt from Brother Nee's ministry, before he was confined for 20 years, he lived in the body, he lived by the body, he lived for the body. He was sustained by the life of the body, and by the life he lived through the cross, life flowed into the body through that imprisoned brother for 20 years. And this is the pattern set before us. It's a sad thing to fellowship something with a brother or a sister, and their response is to make themselves the center of what you shared. It has nothing to do with them. They make themselves the center. Then I realized this happened recently. I just have to stop, because the self is there. But when the self is touched, Christ is the center. The desire of God's heart is the center. The body of Christ is the center. The coming of the Lord is the center. All this is the center, because it's an immediate reaction in us, an immediate response. And so the ing in this message, and I'm being faithful to what I said in the beginning, this is reaching the halfway point now, and we'll come to the outline very shortly. This is an aspect of the ing for us to know the body in the way of life, the growth in life, the experience of life, and to live in the consciousness of the body. And now I suggest a very simple prayer, no matter who you are, where you are, how old you are, how long you've been here. You just pray this simple prayer. Lord, cause me, enable me to know the body of Christ in life. Lord, please give me the experiences that I need to know the body and be conscious of the body in life. And just based upon what you understand at present, just that simple prayer, the Lord knows exactly what to do. God will operate in you starting immediately in a certain way. And he knows you will need certain experiences. And he knows you're reluctant, and some might be afraid. Oh, if I allow that to happen, I may get hurt. I don't want to be hurt. I want to protect myself, even from God. We're all like that in some way. Our Father knows. So according to his good pleasure, he operates in us the willing. So I would say, using that illustration again, Lord, okay, I'm willing for the surgery now. I'll sign the document. Go ahead. Go ahead, Lord. Do what you need to do. If you're not ready, don't try to imitate someone else. Just be honest with the Lord. Be genuine. Be truthful with him. Just say, Lord, I'm not ready. He said, okay, I know you're not ready. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm just going to keep operating in you in such a pleasant way to make you willing. And one day you'll just say, I'm willing now. Yeah, okay. And so here we go. Our Father God is really for us. He knows how to raise children, every kind of spiritual child he knows in this big family. And so this is this morning's ing, knowing the body of Christ in the way of life and living in the consciousness of the body. And in a half hour or so, plus a little, I've been speaking. But I'm in the room upstairs in the house that we live in. Inwardly, sentence by sentence, I realize I'm in the body. This is for the body. This is through the body. I'm speaking to fellow members of the body. This is the reaching procedure. Now we come to this outline, a continuation of message one. And we will do it, I hope, in connection with what I just shared. We begin with these words, the governing vision of the Bible. A governing vision. This is how we open. A vision is seeing a marvelous scene, like seeing the Grand Canyon. You see the Grand Canyon, that's quite spectacular. You see Niagara Falls from the Canadian side, that is spectacular. If I see an ant walking on the table here, that is not a vision. I just see an ant. And so a vision is something that involves revelation, light, and sight. And it governs us. And maybe on another occasion, there'll be a conference on the vision of the central work of God. But I'd rather work this into a conference emphasizing the experience. The governing vision of the Bible is the triune God working himself into his chosen and redeemed people. A governing vision. If the vision is in your being, it will eventually be governing you. Here's an instance, and probably many of you have done something like this. You're responding to an email or to a text, and it's a rather quick response. And now you're near the end and you're about to press the send button, but you don't have peace. Then you consider what you wrote, and then you're deleting, you're going da 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 back. Or maybe you delete the whole thing. Because there's a vision governing you. That's you. Other times, we went ahead and did it. And then we complicated the situation more. The way I speak to my dear wife. I don't have a list on the wall of all the things I'm supposed to do as an elderly man, as a husband now. No, there's a person living in me, and I'm about to say something, and within seconds, or even before I speak, there's something ruling inwardly. It's the vision governing. That's you. Stop. Now, let the Lord flow. Now go. This is not a theory. It is a governing vision that directs us. It protects us. It energizes us. It gives us endurance. And so it's for his chosen and redeemed people to be their life supply, in order to saturate their entire being with the divine Trinity. And so the Lord needs first to be our life and our life supply. Then he can saturate our entire being with the divine Trinity. A, the kernel of the divine revelation is that God created us and redeemed us for the purpose of working himself into us to be our life, our life supply, and our everything. Not only life, but life supply. We all have a human life, but you need healthy food for a life supply. And we need so many other things. The Lord knows what we need. Have you ever been in a situation where, for some reason, you're having a time with the Lord, but there is joy flooding in? That's not something that usually happens. It's just some supply and lifting you up. And then later that day, something very difficult happened, to say the least. I've experienced this a few times. And then I look back with the Lord's enlightenment. I realize the Lord knew at a certain time today, this is going to happen. And I want to supply you and prepare you and enable you to go through that. You'll go through it. But I will be with you and I will supply you. The sovereign God knows our future. He knows everything. And part of his care for us is to supply us in for every matter, for every situation, no matter what it is. When someone in the family is passing away, or something traumatic has happened, the Lord knew it would be happening. Why certain things happen, I don't know. One day the Lord may explain or he may not. But he doesn't just let things happen. He wants to supply us if we let him, if we let him. He not only gives us life, it's the life supply, and it's everything. That's why we don't live in fear. Just a little sidebar. At the end of January 2020, my wife and I were in Malaysia, and then for the first few days in February, we were in Singapore, and we learned then about this virus. And I saw so many people in Singapore already, you know, wearing masks and whatever they wanted to do. And it was so clear, people being ruled by fear, fear, fear. And then I began to study this. There are some doctor brothers that let me know what this was, and I began to study it. And then I made a decision more than 2 years ago. This is going to happen. I will not be ruled by fear, but by the Lord. And so the Lord does not want us to live day by day in fear, in anxiety, in worry. Moment by moment, he wants to give us this bountiful supply. And this last 2 years has been quite a test for saints all over the earth. And it's very clear to me, I say this in principle, that when trials come, many saints will flee. has happened in China has happened before. Others will overcome. It will all depend on what their inner life is with the Lord. If their inner life is a life of the central work of God, the Lord, the overcomer, will lead them in victory over everything and anything that will happen. And what a shock and a shame that will be to the enemy. One under B. B. God's desire is to come into us to be our life and our person. So simple. God just wants to become you and make you the same as he is. In this way, he becomes one with us, and we become one with him. Then he lives in us, we live him. This is what he's after. I believe today, tonight, when you put your head on your pillow, you'll have the sense in two ways. This is a little itty bitty prophecy. I hope I'm not misleading myself here, but this is in faith. I believe when you put your head on your pillow, you'll be able to say, ah, there's little more God in me than when I got up this morning. And Lord, our oneness has been developed a little more today. I am more one with you, and you are more one with me than when I got up this morning. And now that breakfast, my dear wife prays such a fresh way, Lord, this is a new day. Thank you for a new day. Work yourself into us, Lord. This is not only a dispensing day, it's a making us one with you day. Little by little, day by day. This is the basic principle of the divine revelation in the Bible. God building himself into you with the body and the bride in view. And so what I'm trying to do is to connect the personal side, emphasize the message one that needs to be developed more and more. Lord, make your home in my heart. Lord, fill me, saturate with me. Then at the same time, deep within you're saying, Lord, do this for the body. Do this for your bride. The bride needs to mature. The bride needs to mature, Lord. See, the New Testament revelation shows us the triune God and how he has gone through a process to become the all-inclusive, life-giving spirit, to work himself into us, to become our life, our life supply, and our everything. Let us consider what God in Christ went through in order to be able to dispense himself into us. He could not come into us as God in the Godhead. We would disappear. He created us to be a vessel. He redeemed us. He cleansed us. And he himself was incarnated. The Word became flesh. He went through the sufferings of human life. Died on the cross with suffering. Undefinable, indescribable by us. Only the Father knows what a price he paid in giving his only begotten Son to die on the cross for us. And how the Lord was resurrected and has a glorified body and became the life-giving Spirit. What a price he paid to come into us. Look at the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word is Christ, the Son. The Word became flesh. And the incarnated Word became the Lamb. And the Lamb died on the cross for our sins. Then on the day of his resurrection, the Lord came and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And so the all-inclusive Christ, the triune God processed and consummated, has gone through a process to be the air we breathe. What more can he do? That's all we need to say is, "Lord Jesus." Sincerely, "Lord Jesus, Lord, I need you. I'm breathing, breath by breath." Eventually, this will become our daily life, breath by breath. And our spirit within, it's like our, this system in our body operating all the time, breathing, breath by breath. This is the God-man life. The Lord is not only our food, he's not only our water, he's our breath. I'm told by those who know Chinese, it's their language, when a person passes away, they may say, "He's not breathing anymore." That's the sign. When we're breathing in the spirit, we're living. When we're not breathing for that period of time, we're not living in this realm. But don't try to make this something you do deliberately. Eventually, we'll be brought to the point. Because what I was referring to, the cross, among other things, will totally break through our self-confidence, our trusting ourselves, our thinking that we can get through. I'm a survivor. I'm a tough man. I can take this, to realize, "Lord, I cannot live without you. I cannot live without the life in the body." And now I can just, I hardly know what to pray now. In the midst of this world situation, what's going on, I reach the point, "I prayed this, I prayed that, we've prayed this and prayed that. We'll keep doing as you lead us." But finally, we can only say, "Lord Jesus, Lord, Lord, we need you, Lord. We love you, Lord." And breath by breath, he saturates us. D, the entire Bible was written according to the principle of the triune God, wrought into his redeemed people as their enjoyment, their drink, and their fountain of life and light. One day you'll discover, especially you younger ones, there's a fountain in your spirit. Oh, one day it'll come bubbling up. You will be so happy. If you're alone in your room, you may want to jump around a little bit. Wow. Living water flowing. Yes, from the center of your being, the fountain is flowing. This principle must govern and direct us in interpreting any portion of the Bible. This is in the Lord's recovery, in the ministry. This is how we read the Bible from the perspective of this divine heavenly vision. We need to be constituted with this principle, and it must become a vision to us. There's another prayer, a vision. There was governing vision mentioned in the beginning. Now we need, this must become a vision to us. So now there's a prayer going up. "Lord, Lord, please, make this word concerning your central work a vision to the saints. It's now internalized. It's not just something you heard and may remember until Tuesday morning. It's in you. The vision is in you, governing you, directing you, reminding you, supplying you, energizing you. And yes, we wander away. We're all the same as we are growing, reaching. But then the vision governs. In 1978, when a large number of saints in Anaheim left, and they were trying to drag me along with them. And of course, others were praying for me, but I couldn't move because the vision within governed me. No, that is contrary. What they're doing is divisive, it's rebellious, it's contrary to the divine revelation, the vision. I will not move and I will not go. The vision governs. We know that verse in Proverbs. Where there is no vision, the people, they're just lawless. Paul told the Roman leader, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. So this vision governs us. It's the Lord's lordship, authority, his headship exercised over us. Again, not to be a mandate, to be a reminder. This is a dispensing day. That's the self. Let it go. No matter what they're saying, what they're doing, don't respond in your flesh, in yourself. Let it go. And you say, I'll stop. I have to stop. Lord, I'm coming back now to the Spirit. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for directing me. And so point two, listen to this. We need to be constituted with this principle. And it must become a vision to us. Then there will be an intrinsic principle within us governing whatever we speak, teach, and preach. You know, at the end of Matthew 12, the Lord says, every idle word, you'll give an account on that day. How many idle words so far this year? We're only early in March. Among saints, let's forget the unbelievers. Through texts, emails, have been words of death, talk, talk, talk. Very well. And something traumatic happened when he was 23. And he had his responsibility, no doubt about it. But eventually he explained to me the effect was the talk, the gossip, the church kid gossip. And there was just talk, 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 openly. And when it reached that person, it destroyed him. So this is not just a word on the page. I, along with many others, I was not special in relation to Brother Lee. I was just one of his co-workers. But I did work with him closely in a certain way for many years. I edited hundreds of his messages for publication. Never a wasted word. What a testimony. This is a sign. This was a sign of Jacob's maturity, was the way he spoke at the end. whatever we speak, governing whatever we speak. Self-control will not do it. Your strong will not do it. It's only the governing vision with the central work of God that will not allow you to do it. And will require you to say this. That is why I could have just come right through the outline and go through all the points, taking more time on the outline. But I owe it to the Lord, and I owe it to you to share you more about the reaching. It's not simply God working himself into us. It is this life making us aware that we're members of the body of Christ. And we can truly say, Lord, I'm loving you in the body. I'm seeking you for the body. I'm fighting with the body against the enemy for the body. Members of the body in Kyiv, Ukraine, right now are suffering so much. The body is suffering. The Lord needs to bring us to the point. Otherwise, many saints will end up having lived an outward, practical church life year after year, year after year, not really knowing their true situation. The church, the local churches are not the goal. The goal is the body built up and the bride preparing herself. That's the goal. And now we've got to settle this matter with the Lord. What kind of church life will we have personally? Just a routine church life? When we're able to meet again in the halls and come together in the ministry conference center, will it just be the same old thing again? Or will it be outwardly the same, but intrinsically radically different? The Lord has gained something in the last 2 years. Now we're in another dimension together. We're pursuing the Lord together as never before. Like the dear brother shared last night, I will not be lukewarm. But there's lukewarmness all over the earth in so many places. Lord, come in. Govern us with this vision and touch us personally, and then enlighten us to show, Lord, I want you to work yourself into me today for the body, for the bride, for the kingdom coming to the earth. I want today, March 5th, to be a day that contributes to that. Now, for the last 5 or 7 minutes, I just spent some time with the second section. You can just tell the burden, the weight of the burden. I just have to repeat something. God's goal is the reality of the body of Christ. We'll consider that tonight. And the churches are the procedure. And it's a very encouraging thing to see saints one by one realizing, I'm in the church where I am. I'm in the church in Anaheim. I'm active in the church. I respect and honor the elders in the church. I meet, I serve, I pray. But Lord, that's not all. While I'm doing this, I am living in the body of Christ. The church in Anaheim is not the goal. It's a procedure. But how sad it is to see dear saints, faithful saints, reliable saints, for more than 50 years, surely reaching the end of their course with no awareness at all of the body. And their whole church life was lived just as a thing in itself, when the meaning of the local church is the body of Christ, because a local church is the local expression of the universal organic body of Christ. And that is why one by one, whether it's in Phoenix, Tucson, Denver, Albuquerque, all the other states and cities, more and more, may there be more sisters and brothers, that when the normal church life resumes, it's on a higher level and a deeper level. We're here together again, but with much more God wrought into our being. We didn't waste these last 24 or more months. And now we have more awareness of the body, consciousness of the body. Lord, work yourself into me for the body's sake, for your bride. Now I can finish. God's intention in his economy is to build himself in Christ into our being. God desires to work himself in Christ into us. And everything that Christ is and everything that Christ has accomplished are for this one thing. So what he accomplished on the cross is for his working himself into you. What the Lord accomplished in his resurrection is for him to build himself into you. What the Lord is doing in his heavenly ministry is so that he can work himself into you more and more day by day for the body. All that he went through is for this purpose, to do the central work. And when the central work is accomplished by the overcoming believers and the bride is ready, this age will end. The Lord will return and the age of the kingdom will begin. And we may be getting very, very close to the end of this age. B, we need God to build himself in Christ into our humanity, working himself in Christ into us as our life, our nature, and our person. Here's something mysterious. And I think I should use the word paradox. It seems to be a contradiction, but it's not. The more we become God in life and nature, the more human we become, Jesusly human. Often trainees ask for me to share something about Brother Lee on the side of knowing him. And I like to tell the trainees, Brother Lee was the most human person I've ever met. And I like, okay, I was going to tell them, but I should take care of the time. It's in our humanity. We're not going to become some kind of angelic being, a third thing. We'll become more human than ever before. Jesusly human, with God expressed through our humanity. And when we are Jesusly human, then the saints are so comfortable when we come together. You're not afraid of the leading brothers. You're not about to faint if one of the co-workers would have some fellowship with you. We're all just becoming Jesusly human, members of the body. And it's so endearing. One, as a result, we are not simply persons according to God's heart. We are God in life and in nature, but not in the Godhead. Listen to these two statements. They're quite a surprise. Merely to be a person according to God's heart means nothing. For one may be according to God's heart, but still be empty not having God wrought into his heart. So we don't just try to imitate David. He had a heart according to God. That was very good at his time. We need a heart. That's the heart of God. This word, be empty. Be empty. When we pray, the prayers of the saints are in two categories. Some are just empty words. Others are simple words filled with God, filled with the heart of God in a simple prayer, in a simple praise. We want God wrought into our heart. God wants those who can say, I am not just a person according to God's heart. I am God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead. Well, I'm not encouraging you during sharing time, which will start in about a minute, but the Lord might lead you sometime when you're alone in a room by yourself. And you will say this to the enemy who wanted to make himself God, to say, enemy, because of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings and the victor over you, I declare, I am God in life and in nature, but not in the Godhead. And I am becoming part of the corporate body of Christ. And my destiny is a wonderful eternal marriage. And your destiny is the lake of fire. You wanted to become like God? You deceived us to try to make us in that way like you? But our Lord came and destroyed you and nullified your works. And now he is in us, saving us in life. And the time will come when we'll be rapture ready. And the overcomers will defeat you. And the kingdom will be manifested on the earth. This is the working out of the highest peak of the divine revelation. All the steps, great and small, that God takes in our daily life are to fulfill his intention of building himself in Christ into our being. Oh, how familiar this is to almost all of us. All the steps, great and small, sometimes it's the little things that happen that are so troublesome to us. And God said, I arranged this little thing because I knew this little thing is going to touch this part of your inner being. Hopefully that I can work myself into that part of you. All the steps God takes in our daily life are to fulfill his intention of building himself in Christ into our being. So the burden has been released. We have a good 25 minutes for sharing. I very much appreciated and was ministered to by all the brothers and sisters last night. Please follow the leading of the Lord. And we would like to drink of your spirit and share your portion of the indwelling Christ with us.